wonder what I didn't have on how they were focused, and that was aliens. I wasn't expecting more talk about aliens, but out it came. And my understanding, the reason or the thing that provoked it is that the former President Obama was given an interview, I guess. I didn't look too deeply into this, but he was given an interview where he was asked whether or not aliens were real. And I guess here's my gratified question to this question. And the answer was, they are, but I don't see them. Very bad moment, started talking to him, and everybody wanted to talk about aliens, and then all this with, you know, the current president, the general release files on aliens. And yeah, we did go through all of this, because not a decade ago, where, you know, the government is going to investigate and release information about aliens and so on. So, the dangerous belief, and this was the publicly declared statement that was made by Navy General Pat Ryder years ago. All of that endeavors, and all of the classification concluded that those findings were ordinary objects and phenomena, and the result of misidentification, unquote. And I'm here to tell you that it's just going on for the crazy director doesn't have anybody else. If you even ever really come to us that, you're going to discover that exactly what they would say. Of course, that's what they would say. We're living in the age of everyone sort of being stuck in the loop of their own confirmation bias. And so, if you're something that's counter to what you believe, you get to sniff that out of here. And then, if you hear something that doesn't go with what you believe in, then you're happy about that. So, you're never any closer to the truth on stuff like that. What's great about God is great about the word is that you don't waste time with Him, just getting further and further from the truth and more separated from reality. We get closer to the truth. And we get closer to reality. When Christ asked Jesus in that text that we read a moment ago, I so appreciate this, the scriptures of being read here, the attentiveness that you give to God's word being read and spoken. When we're described that Jesus, first and foremost, commandment of the law, he gave that answer to Israel a moment ago. The foremost commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's just going to be Deuteronomy 6:5. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Matthew tells us that Jesus called this profound phrase in Matthew 22:40. On these two, you can, or have, you can make it, depend all of the law and the prophet. And if you're hearing that with Jewish or Hebrew ears, that's all of the Hebrew Bible. All of the law of Moses and all of the writings. So all of these three, all the prophetic writings you can. Luke goes to different accounts. In Luke chapter 10, Luke shows the different accounts. It's very, very similar, but it's not the same account. Here is somebody actually asked Jesus about the law, and Jesus asks him whether that was the law said. And he, now I don't know if this came sincerely from his own study, or if he had heard Jesus give this answer before, and thought it would be good to throw the answer back to him. I don't know. But he answered some of the words of God from the Holy Spirit and come by the Spirit, because I knew that it was so. But then he added to the commentary there, or just wrote his own commentary there. He says, but wishing to justify himself, that he knows that he was asked the question to
He then said to Jesus, "Yeah, but who's my neighbor?" After that, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, all of this helps us. Now you see, yeah, we don't have time to deal with all of that. What I want to do is I want to make a single observation about this foremost commandment, the great commandment: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you take this commandment seriously at all, you will love God. You don't believe what this will bring in to get into his plan and for himself. Let me do it. I need the first day. That statement, you will have to work your life. Doesn't exactly give us a warm, fuzzy feeling, does it? To demand that someone love you? To demand that someone love you or else? In fact, Jesus said, the Lord is the God, do this for the Lord, for God. That implies the opposite is true. If you don't love God, you're not. It sounds like sort of thing that men would say. Okay, it sounds like the kind of thing that men will say and men do say. Powerful men all throughout history in order to keep their people, their populations, their kingdoms under control. When the book of Daniel, in fact, that took place 600 years before Jesus walked the earth, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had set up a monument to himself and demanded that all of those that served him under the administration as representative of all the people that lived in the territory of the Babylonian kingdom, the Babylonian empire that day, that those representatives in this administration that were either appointed or allowed to remain in the administration were required to come to a exhibition of the monument that Nebuchadnezzar had built and erected to himself and let them bow down. It sounds to me an awful lot like you will love me or else. That's what it sounds like. And if you love your God, and you might remember Daniel's friends would say this, and they wouldn't bow. When he writes certain songs that he was referenced sometimes, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. They wouldn't bow down. So what do you think is going to happen to people that don't bow down? The picture that happened, if you would explain this in the context of jeopardy, I'm at the eighth hour. I always do like jeopardy, but I'm not paid as much. Jeopardy will work for great. There's a real jeopardy here. There's a book about that. The detective in the category, of course, for me, would be asking how it's because he's the only hope for jeopardy. It's like how to take that and only hope for real fortune. I don't care who else does that. But, okay, it seems anyway. But if you get the detective category, I think that's a little unusual for 500, right? And, and then he's going to teach to read the answer. You remember how it goes. It's not a classic question. If you're a contestant, all that same form of question. And so he reads the answer for true and unusual for 500, and it says, "You really love me about everything and everyone else, or not." And one of the contestants brings in and says, "What is the comment would say?" You know, something about the words command and love being used together that seems incompatible. They don't seem to really go together all that well. Would you like for your spouse to command you to love them? Did you ever command someone to love you? Are you loving them? Or are you coercing them? And if you are coercing them, is it love? So we live renamed to Mars. We uphold this command. To uphold our Lord's teaching of this commandment. He claimed this commandment is so great. To any man in Jesus when he said, "This is the great commandment, there's nothing else like it." Maybe we can understand. Maybe we can have some sympathy. Maybe we can remember. And maybe we can have some sympathy with some of your brothers. Some of the non-little green men from life aren't exactly beating down our door and ringing our phone off the hook to avoid themselves to being ruled by a tyrant who demands that they love them or die. Imagine, if you will, a couple of groups will have more willing societies, you know, a combat after our learning services. Don't forget that. Mark 2 is a little close. And you all walk into our multi-purpose room for that meal. And the long table full of pastoral biscuits and some friends here. But this time, and for very reason, just pray that God is with us. But this time, you have to stand. You know, one of the things about Cyprus is, you know, who made that? Who made that? Why don't you grab that? Maybe we make it in this illustration where everybody has to stand behind the ditch they made. And as we do that, as we're passing through the line, and the people standing there in front of us, you better eat this. Even if we're not sure we like that sort of thing. And we're also demanding, as we do it, you better tell everybody else the best thing you've ever eaten. Is that our God, the God of silence? Standing behind the castle of this or the God of God? Demanding not only that we keep his food, but forbidding us to eat food from anybody else's castle of this, suggesting that we'll die if we do, demanding that we give him the same time for how we do our duties. We labor under the assumption that there's an entire life out there. But if they're all very many large, that they're not just intelligent, but that they are otherwise intelligent, otherworldly intelligent, superior of intelligence to us. That's the assumption. Maybe we don't come right out and say it that way, but that's the assumption. That's the reason behind the things that we do in engaging that topic. It's the reason why we approach the way we do. We leave the person with the purpose of the plausible recognition that they might maybe aren't their problem smaller than us. And that they know things we don't know. And that they value things we perhaps don't value or haven't even yet learned about. But their knowledge we don't have. And because of those assumptions, we always assume that they probably already know everything there is to know about us. We might have a lot to learn from them. I mean, that's probably for them, pretty good assumption for them. Well, why is it Why is it when the alien got landed? And has walked among us. And has taught. And has shown us in our own language. And has revealed to us its values directly, honestly, openly, clearly. Why is it if that's the case? Well, we won't listen to it. But we won't give him the benefit of the doubt when he says to me the found things to our open ears. God forbid we actually were ordering them. Who knew us better than we knew ourselves? Who tried to tell us? Who tried to warn us? Who tried to save us from ourselves? Who tried to help us? He tried to show us the errors of our way. God helped the little green man who bore to visit this planet. I fear we killed them all and congratulate ourselves for it. The problem is that God doesn't understand us. The problem is that we, humans in general, we don't understand God. We fear God. You shall love the Lord your God. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and the power of the Lord. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We fear him as with peace. We're God. We hear him as if the information is coming from some ear, some human megalomaniac in Babylon. 2,700 years ago. The command of God, the law of God, the rule of God, the precept of God, the testimonies of God, the statutes of God, the declarations of God, whatever God has called them and whatever he wants to say about them or we want to say in general about them or call them. There's so much more. So much beyond one person telling another person what to do or else. They are declarations of a reality to which we regularly, willingly, and properly as humanity blind ourselves and have nothing to do with. How dare you come from the past of the future? How dare you come from the future where the man from Mars and come for us every day? How dare you play up your reality when we are the masters of reality? Stop the man of the Mars. Means to your faces. Of a tyrant who so filled with his own ego that he can't do otherwise. The command of our life is small. It was reality. It's the raising bar. The psalmist understood that. The 119th psalm in the 93rd verse, I will never forget your precepts. For God's hand, you've given me life. God's commandments aren't just non and bad restrictions on your son, restrictions on freedom. They are invitations. They're invitations to reality. They're invitations to happiness. They're invitations to joy. They're invitations to peace. They are invitations to hope. To refuse them is not to bruise by either any more than obeying them with virtue. To refuse the word of God is to die. and not just be part of it. Like Adam and Eve discovered. But then, by housing Christ in the meantime, Sam and I were out yesterday and I heard the commercial again. And man, it makes me crazy. Now, any of y'all ever heard the commercial of the Rockville and life insurance in Virginia? Have you heard this? Here's how it starts. I'm probably going to rock it a little bit. You'll get it. Are you on life number 3? And every life number 4 wants a big life insurance policy. He's selling life insurance policies for the trophy wife, God helps to remove this horrible language from our reality. Selling life insurance policies targeting guys between the ages of 15 and 65. We've already gone through numerous wives. Too many problems, maybe too much blood and alimony. And now I have this wife who wants a big life insurance policy. If you haven't heard it on the radio, you'd say, wait a minute. The Saturday night ride out early today. It's a shame. And God knows. God knows that while we live and breathe, there is more mercy than we can imagine for all the stupidity that we can invest. So don't hear any wrong words here. That human beings who have made brave errors in their lives and not tolerant are unredeemable because it's not true. But God help us not be so stupid. There's a market for this. And what would somebody be willing to spend their dollars on it to push for it and get what they can? But if we as human beings would give the breath of a single follower of human words worth of time to just hearing God out first, there would be practically no market for this nonsense. People would do a commercial like that. And they would go, what are you talking about? Where are these people? Didn't we would have nobody beside you? God is standing behind you. He's standing behind his strong powers, capital words. And he says, if you need this other stuff, your brain will die. And we can tell them, what's coming to you? And God is a very word, man. So we're on the top of the cover. And someone else comes along and says, yeah, well, I need to talk to people. I'm not doing that. Does it mean it? Do you know God? And neither do the other 100 people. But I want to know you. Oh, that's gone. God cannot spare all those people. He just called. He just won't take control over one son. Fairly tall, fruitful, you know. People from the closet did. But it gets away. And those few poor alien creatures who put a little bit of what from God's castle against them in the bowl or on their plate. Those who are trying to tell the others how good it is. We look stupid. We look backward. We don't get into the common place. But what we won't be, and what Jesus never was, is hungry again in the world. What we won't be, and what Jesus never was, is not worse. What we won't be, and what Jesus never did, plus a couple of hours later, after the Jerusalem fight. What we won't be, and what our Lord never did, is suffer from the silent, persistent inflammation that damages the internal organs slowly without detecting the violence, killing us by a thousand cuts. See what God serves is the only thing that we can consume that doesn't be us. So remember, when you feel like the little green man from Mars, then you're good for me. But I'll go to 1938. A 23-year-old broadcaster by the name of Orson Welles presented a dramatic radio adaptation of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds on the radio. Back when radio was a hit. People were so stunned by the format and information that they were getting from that. It was such a new format that people didn't know that. They didn't realize. They thought it was a real news bulletin coming through the radio airwaves. It was just Orson Welles telling a story. And it induced a flame of love. We can talk the little green men for hundreds, for years. And ultimately, God started out a lot before it caused a lot of chaos. And not before people all over the country were worked into a frenzy over the fact that the little green man finally arrived. Why? I think because we see the little green man as like us. And we know what we're capable of. And we face with the reality of it, people immediately think, not best, but the worst. We think that they'll treat us as badly as we're capable of treating them. We talked the last time there wasn't an invasion of an alien, much smarter, much wiser, much more powerful than us when we know we can and be in the home of the tree. So what if the alien was better than us? What if he was just trying to warn us? To learn to love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second right unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. What if you were just after once so we can stop killing your brothers? And be quicker. Never given a lot of price. We want to encourage you to give it serious consideration. We love you so much. If you want to live, He will. He will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Do this, and you will live. Rescue the Son of God, the return of your sins. The mercy walk to the mission of your sins. You walk with me. Our God, you need to come home and make things right. You need to help us to be heard in the name of peace. That can't be true.